We are doing it. We're back again. Episode 50 of Two Jack Bros. Ansley just hydrated up. She's ready to do this. We're ready to do this. We were already talking about, there's this video that I posted, and it's all these white women in a workout room. It's one of those, you know, like dance room, workout room
yeah.
things with all the mirrors and a bar. And they're just, all of them are just with no irony, just all like shaking their asses in different ways, like working out, practicing.
There were so many different ways.
Everyone was doing a different way.
They totally were.
It looked like, you know, it reminded me of like one of those old Saturday morning Kung Fu movies where a bunch of people with the different styles are like coming with their styles to see whose style is the best.
Yeah.
And they were just warming up and then they were going to all compete against each other to see who's butt style. whose butt style is supreme?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of different ways. One of them was on their head.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, every different way you could sit or stand or turn or just, yeah.
I guess all the popular ways that people twerk.
Here is some jacked homework. Go home and see how many different ways you can twerk.
Yeah. Yeah, videotape yourself twerking in as many different ways as possible. And we'll see if your southern style is better than my northern style. Yeah, the way of the southern butt. That's it's pretty wild. Here's the thing. Because we were talking like, what are they doing that for, right?
Yeah.
Like, why are they doing that? Whatever, there's all sorts of, it could be just a workout thing. And you, like you said, they could just all be doing their own personal warm-up, or it's the part of the workout where it's like, all right, now freestyle. It's just like, I'm getting on my head.
Yeah.
Could just be that.
Yeah.
Right? Or just, it's like, I hate that version of trying to act sexy.
You do?
Yeah, it's not sexy.
My twerking just, in the bedroom isn't doing it for
it's
you?
It's goofy. Not your twerking in the bedroom, but twerking.
Twerking.
Twerking for sexiness is just goofy.
You don't like to, but part of you is like, doesn't part of you get like mesmerized? I mean, it's like you watch people roll their abs. Like, isn't it like, it's really,
yeah,
it's a lot of muscle body.
Yeah, but I don't watch people roll their abs to jerk off. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not sexy. It's like, that is cool and interesting that you can move your body that way, especially if it's somebody that's good at doing it, because it looks like a human lava lamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
But there's also a lot of like, there's that like in, out. You know, like on the Naked Gun movies when they're like, the sex is happening and they're just showing like spaceships going off or flowers coming out or like
an oil drill. Just,
just things Derek going just in going and out. And
yeah, there is. But that's sexier to me.
You would rather watch them.
A montage of things going in and out. It's sexier to me than watching a woman twerk, hands down.
Yeah.
It does nothing for me. It is just absolutely goofy.
I'll keep it's that in just mind goofy. Because I'm going to make you a sexy video.
Yeah, get off your head. Start there. Because I know all of your moves are you on a headstand. Some sort of weird headstand. Stop it. It's not sexy. It looks like it's troubling your neck. Yeah. Man. I'm feeling good. I'm just dealing like a man with the fact that you made me cut my hair before doing this podcast.
What?
Ansley gave me an option. She was like, you get to forfeit the podcast or you cut your hair. And I was like, I'm going to man up and cut my hair because I'm about winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not feeling sensitive about it?
No, I'm not feeling sensitive about it. It's, you are reeling over the fact that you were like, he just accused me of cutting his hair. Like, calm down. Relax. You're in your shed. This is your shed.
It is my
You're
she
safe
shed?
Here. This is your safe space.
This is my safe space.
Yeah.
I did not tell you to cut your hair, but I believe you were referencing the...
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah.
...drama about the wrestler.
Yeah. Which is overblown and ridiculous.
Yes.
I hate it.
Yes. So, in case people... Because I'd missed this for a while until you told me about it. The wrestler, a black kid, was in a wrestling match. They told him, the white referee told him that he had to cut his hair or forfeit the fight, the match, because having hair past your ears is against the rules of wrestling.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the proper headgear, and he elected to cut his hair, and he went on and he won his match in overtime, and I believe his team won as well, and the world had a hissy fit.
Yeah. And I guess the issue that we're talking about is, like, people are getting all up in arms about this who've never even wrestled.
Yeah.
You don't even understand wrestler culture, and you're getting upset about this.
Yeah.
Like, this man is a combat athlete.
And really, let's be honest. Isn't it better not to have dreads when you're doing those mat sports just for hygienic reasons? Like,
yeah. Have short hair.
Like,
for all people.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the main reason they do that, for health concerns.
Yeah.
It's like, don't have long hair.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a dread thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, it's just so weird how they have these rules that white people have to also follow.
Yeah.
Right? But then when it's enforced, this rule that exists that white people have to also follow, when it's enforced on a black person, it's immediately racist.
Rules enforcement by white people on black people? Like, what other?
That's,
what else?
That's it. That's, you just described racism. That was it. That's the description of racism in 2018.
It kind of
rules
is.
Enforced by white people on black people. Any rule enforced is racist.
Because a lot of those incidents are definitely rules being enforced on black people, and then people being like, yeah, but it wasn't like. Like,
because it's like, here's what bothers me. It's supposed to, like, we have to adhere to this. We have to have a reaction when anything has to do with our hair. Like, black people have to be sensitive about our hair.
Yeah.
Like, don't be touching my hair. Can't be curious about my hair. It's like, oh, you cut a black person's hair. Like,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, you, and the people who are like on the side of that, who are being compassionate, they phrase it in terminology where it's like, how do you not know better to not cut a black person's hair?
Yeah.
And so, well, that was the rule.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? This isn't about whether or not he's black. This is about whether or not he wants to be a state champion this year.
Right. This is a wrestling decision.
Absolutely. And like I was saying before, like, I think that's the problem people are having with this, because when it came down to it, on how that guy, what mattered more for his identity,
yeah,
whether or not he had hair or whether or not he got to wrestle.
Yeah.
We saw that it was whether or not he got to wrestle.
Yeah.
And, like, people don't know how to handle that. Like, that has to be oppression. If he chose wrestling over black people hair, that has to be oppression. Why would you want to not have black people hair if you're a black person? And he still has cool dreads.
Yeah.
You know, and don't tell me it was some Rastafarian thing. It can't be, because the sides were already shaved.
Oh,
Rastafarian
okay.
doesn't get down like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I don't want to hear all this, like, what if scenarios. Yeah. He has the hair because it's cool.
Yeah.
He's a good looking, light skinned, cool, like, dude with dreads.
Yeah.
You know.
And he's also a good wrestler, right?
A good wrestler. You know, good enough to get his hair cut in the middle of a match and go on and still win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even want my dreads by the time that I cut them.
Yeah.
But there was still, like, an emotional, ugh.
Yeah,
you know, there was something. I don't know if I could have went right and won a wrestling match.
Well, it also would kind of fuel you too. You'd be like,
yeah, now I would have crushed.
Like,
I felt so light.
You look beast. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would have been moving. My lateral footwork would have been so ridiculous.
Yeah, he was probably like, I should have cut my dreads before. Like,
yeah.
I want to hear what he like.
I know he was like a Super Saiyan. It was like train. He was like training all that time with heavier weight.
Yeah.
And then he got it cut off. He probably got like a half an inch taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
You can go down a weight class now.
Yeah, it's like, weigh him again. You gotta weigh that man again. Look how quick he's moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
if I was at a jiu-jitsu match and they were like, and I had done all the prep work to get there and like made the sacrifice, work so hard, you know, did the diet thing, and they were like, you've got to cut your hair or you can't compete. I think I'd cut my hair.
Yeah, it's like, who has scissors?
Yeah.
Right? We'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, let's go out here and get this win.
Yeah.
You know, let's see, like, let's put it on the line. Either, you know.
That's a great story for him to have in life.
Awesome. Like, and the people are ruining it.
Yeah.
They don't know what it's like to be an athlete.
He can't have his victory. Like,
that's a cool athletic story.
Yeah.
If you just move all this racial bullshit aside.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, if you haven't heard the story, this is important because I don't want to feel like I'm leaving anything out of like my context. Interpretation of this, right? No. Yeah. Context is a good word too. Whatever. The referee that enforced the rule 2 years ago in 2016 during high school wrestling season. So high school wrestling season goes from like December through like late February, early March, right? So in 2016, which means it had to be, if it was 2016, it had to be. Yeah, it was either this, it was, so it's almost 3 years ago. It's basically what I'm saying. Like mathematically, it is almost 3 years ago.
Okay.
He was accused of calling a coach the N-word.
Yeah.
Right? I'm using the N-word so you don't have to turn it off and feel weird about it. Yeah. Like I'm black. I can say it if I want to. But I'm going to use the N-word for this just because I think it's funnier. Right? So, and here's the deal. So he was getting in an argument with one of the coaches, probably over him enforcing some bullshit rule because he seems like that type of guy. And it's like, why are we getting upset that the type of person that wants to be a referee is also the type of person that enforces rules?
Right. That's crazy.
It's like, insane.
Yes. He likes rules.
He's got to be racist. He enforced the rule, that referee.
Yeah.
That's like, why did we jump there?
Yeah.
How did we get there so quickly? And so 2 years, 2016, wrestling season of 2016, it didn't say when. So I'm assuming it's as far away as possible as it could possibly be.
Yeah.
So he was accused of in an argument calling a coach the N-word.
Yeah.
The coach tackled him, double-A takedown. Gave him a double-A takedown.
Yeah.
It was broken up.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't believe it because, again, this referee seems like he's all about the rules and
that would calling be people the rule. An N-word.
That's rule number one. It was like, yeah, like rule, like, come on. It's like, we shouldn't have to tell you guys this rule. We're going to tell you, we're going to call this rule number zero. This is rule number not, as in not, especially don't do. You know, it's yeah. Like, it's, come on. Yeah. That's against the rules. And this guy's clearly a stickler for the rules.
Yeah.
So it's really insulting.
Yeah.
It's insulting because I feel like there are sadistic people and I'm not saying all white people are sadistic. You better watch yourself. Yeah. I'm not saying all white, but I think there is there's a culture of sadisticness that is happening where people want to see what happens. Like, push people towards this fire and let's see it go. Like, come on. He was racist to you. Go do something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah,
and I feel like white people are at the helm of that.
Yeah.
And it's creepy.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like they're pushing those boundaries, like all those rallies and stuff where like people like all of a sudden started like punching other humans in the face or like hitting them in the face with locks and stuff. Like it went really far.
Yeah, it is. It is still. I didn't hear about the lock face stuff.
You don't remember that?
No. But I mean, I just think it's just so weird, though, that like white people are. Then when you get offended for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
what you are doing is you are validating in that person the right to react.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You don't have to do it.
Right.
You're just empowering that person, and then you get to watch it.
Yeah.
And then you also are, when you get offended for somebody else, you are also claiming for somebody to be the villain. And you are asking for consequences to be bestowed on that person. Now, you don't have to live that person's life. Mm-mm. You don't have to see what happens in his life after these consequences happen to him and what he becomes and what it's doing to his family right now and what it means that he's being accused as a racist by the nation. I don't know how big this story is,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you don't have to deal with any of that. You just get to be
You're like offended. Puppet master.
Yeah, it's this. Creepy.
It's like I don't know if, like, there's been some time in your life where you controlled I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, manipulate other people to do your bidding and stuff. And
oh,
like
yeah, it's
make
creepy.
Things, right? And it makes you feel really creepy when it works. Yeah. It's like, this is not something I want
to
do.
Dude, I'm in it, and this is some real shit you're about to hear from the two Jack Bros. This is true. And as it can validate this for me, like, in college, I was very manipulative. And I didn't really care. I did what I did. I cheated. I lied. I didn't care.
Yeah.
And when I realized, not realized, but when I got to the point when I could no longer validate my behavior over the consequences that were happening to other people. Like, I couldn't put myself before the carnage. that I was leaving in my wake anymore. It was just starting to, it was mountain higher than me.
I think what happened to us both was that we were living those lifestyles, but then we found each other and didn't want to stop being with each other. But the carnage was, like you said, following catching us. Up to us. It was either going to destroy us or we were going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't happen. They couldn't, like, it was getting too much. Like, like we were saying that the last podcast, like, the number of nights of human beings whose nights we ruined.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big number. Yeah, like, the carnage was.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
It was like worlds colliding because, like, we were keeping these people. It was a mess.
I don't even know if that was in the last episode because that episode, I think that was the episode that we might have deleted or whatever.
Okay,
but who knows? But the bottom line, the point that I'm making is that I took a solemn vow, I took a solemn vow like over a long time ago, like almost a decade ago. I don't want to call it a long time. I consider it like yesterday. I lived that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to manipulate people anymore. Not to do anything that felt even like a hint that I was trying to just use somebody to gain something.
Yeah.
Like I took, you know what I mean? That means something.
Your vows mean a lot.
Yeah, my vows mean a lot to me. I've been rolling tight on that one for over a decade, man.
Yeah,
I feel good about that. At the expense of moving further, faster in a comedy career.
Yeah,
you know, if I was a little more manipulative, especially since I'm not willing to like let people do stuff up my butt. You know what I mean? If I was more manipulative, like I would, you know, be crushing it.
Yeah.
By now, like I have the talent.
Yeah.
That's not the issue. It's like I took a solemn vow. You know what I mean? I'm not letting anybody up my butt either. That's another solemn vow. I am not letting anybody up my butt so that I can get a part or a role. I'm not doing it.
You're not
going to
get Harvey Weinstein?
Nah. No, it's not happening. No, it's like, I didn't tell you the newest wormhole that I fell down.
Uh-oh.
Like I'm speaking as if like there's context.
Uh-oh.
There isn't any context.
Where me and the listeners are going to find out together, huh?
Yeah.
Is this jacked or not?
Is this jacked or not? Okay, we'll have it be that. All right, here we go. So I'm watching, I'm on my YouTube thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my algorithm is spitting them out to me. It's like, how about you try this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, are you talking to me?
You are being manipulated by YouTube.
I am. It's karma. I've done so much in my lifetime that I just have to accept this. So it gave me a video about the conspiracy about how the Illuminati is all through Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, the Illuminati is also in other power structures. Mm-hmm. But it's rampant in Hollywood, and they were just basically going through all of the... Now, this focused mostly on Black Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
You know, because that's part of my algorithm.
Yeah. Right? So, like, white Hollywood is, what's Tom Cruise's? Scientology.
Oh, there's butt stuff there, too. Not necessarily in Scientology, but butt stuff in white Hollywood. That's like, there is butt stuff Illuminati. That's how you get in the Illuminati, basically.
The butt stuff.
Is to let people do things to your butthole. So, here's...
Is that,
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
Like, you can even... Wait till you get to the part about this in the Sacred Knowledge book.
I have not gotten there.
Yeah, this is documented stuff. So
okay.
If people don't really understand what the Illuminati is, right? Because people just think of it as this secret society. Oh, it doesn't exist. It exists. There are a group of people who are under the guise of this sacred society, the Sacred Knowledge group. That's what it is. It's one of the orders of sacred knowledge. I don't know if people know that. So there was a brief... history, because you kind of
show your ass in
but don't you do anything to it. Don't you touch it. It's hard not to bring up religion in the Bible because it all comes from that.
Okay,
this is all about that. So, the Bible, the narrative again, the religious narrative that we have in the Bible, that's not what the Bible was meant for. That's not what religion was about back in the time that the Bible was written. Religion wasn't about faith. It was about knowledge. Mm-hmm. And knowledge was important because knowledge is what helped you understand how the world worked and how to manipulate the world to your benefit. Right. And that's all encoded in the Bible.
Right.
Right. There is, again, the Old Testament, there's the Kabbalah. If people don't know what the Kabbalah is, the Kabbalah is basically the sacred translation of the encoded text of the first Testament. The Old Testament, right? So So there were people who understood the nature of the Bible, and there were people that didn't. And the people that didn't seem to be the people that were more in power. They were able to control people through the religious narrative.
The people that did were more in power.
Yeah, the people that did. I would say that they maybe did, maybe didn't, but eventually it became bastardized to the point that it was only the first narrative, the religious context, because the fear of going to hell, the use of like a creator God in the sky, right, for people especially that didn't read, you know, or how, who knows what the literacy rate was, or how, again, I can't, let me take that back, because that refutes my theory of an advanced ancient civilization, and I don't want to
I don't want to do that. This is tricky, though.
So, but you can like, we live in an advanced current civilization, yes, and yes, you can. There are still religious leaders manipulating people with the Bible, to donate money or whatever to their, you know, to just give them power.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it was being used for, and if the real nature of the Bible was revealed, then they wouldn't be able to control people with it.
Right.
Right? So they started to, you know, go after these mystery schools, is mm-hmm. what they're called, right? Who dabble in the ancient ways and all the encoded texts and how the Kabbalah, all the letters have values, and
why do they pick mystery school? Like church has some authority. I'm going to mystery school.
I don't think they said it like that, but they probably did. You know, who knows the kind of vibe that they were dealing with. But like all of this stuff that we talk about, like the stuff that I'm finding, they knew about this stuff. They knew about the resonance of water. They knew that, vibrations and sound waves created shapes and things.
They were omen.
They knew all this stuff. Yeah. They were omen. So, it's the Illuminati. They were part of this these sacred schools.
Mm-hmm.
They were a sect. They were an order
mm-hmm.
of the mystery schools.
Mm-hmm.
So were the Rosicrucians, who may have, over time, blended with the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the Occultists.
The
Occultists. They're the real deal. They're the good guys. If they exist anymore, because like they have to operate under, not have to, but it's like, so basically, man, this is some cool shit, but I got to get to the Illuminati butt stuff.
That's
what's important.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
There was a goal to this conversation.
Goodness gracious. I didn't know where this was going to go.
Yeah. Right?
So if we ever get to talk about the Occultists, those are my guys. Like if I get to be part of a sacred society, I want to roll with the Occultists, and we'll find them through the profession of optometry. Oh, it's so cool. The Occultists are the shit. So the Illuminati, you'll get there. You'll get there in your research.
All right.
The Illuminati, basically, rather than being a group who wanted to reveal, to use sacred knowledge to help open the eyes of the world, they were trying to use it to gain power and influence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they started to become more of not an evil sect, but like, you know, they
questionable morals?
Questionable morals. And let's call them evil because they did evil shit. You know, they kill and hurt and overthrow governments to, you know what I mean? They do that evil shit.
Are they like military trained? Like
no, they're people of influence, and they bring people in, and then now you're part of the Illuminati because so
they touch your butt, and then you're like, well, you can never leave.
There are rituals, so you can indoctrinate it into this.
And this is how they keep you quiet. Yeah, if you come out,
yes,
everybody knows your butt's been touched.
Yes. So, and this is not anything new. Completely, right? The Skull and Crossbones, one of the things that they did is that they would, like the last part of the initiation, they would put you in a coffin, you jerk off in the coffin, and then reveal all of your sexual secrets.
Okay.
Now, everybody has that on each other.
Right.
Everybody knows you jerked off in a coffin and told, you know what I mean, told people about your weird attraction to your cousin. You know what I mean? It's like, And so you all have that on each other. So that's kind of what.
So these are men groups.
Yes.
These are all men groups.
Yeah. I mean, there were some women in the Illuminati. I mean, there was like, that, again,
like a special woman in ancient
advanced civilization, women had a whole different role in society.
I don't think you've ever told me about
it. They were a lot more influential than the way things kind of appear to be now.
What, you know? Because they managed.
Yeah, also, here's some deep conspiracy theory stuff. I haven't really had time to confirm this. What I'm telling you now about the Illuminati, you can confirm that through easy research, okay. Right? But allegedly, there is a woman at the top of the pyramid.
Allegedly.
That's who's in control of all it. Mm. There's a woman up there.
That's, I don't know.
I mean, it has to be somebody to be so cruel. Yeah, but so what the Illuminati does, they're part of their ritual, is butt stuff. It's sexual butt stuff.
Okay, wait, you were going to tell me something about black Hollywood people.
We're getting there. Right?
I just thought we keep coming back to the butt stuff.
So that's how people become these mega stars. Right?
What do you mean mega star?
Every super mega star in Hollywood.
Denzel Washington is Illuminati? Is that what you're telling me?
Butt stuff, yeah. Oprah Winfrey.
Butt stuff. Jamie Foxx.
I think butt stuff. I'll do some.
The whole Wayans family? Are they not mega star enough?
Well, it's possibly, because one of the ways that they. One of the ways that they show it. To the public display of the allegiance to the Illuminati is through public male on male affection. That would be typically.
Is that like, what about that guy who just got his penis grabbed at the award show and got all bent out of shape and was like, me too? Was that Illuminati?
Oh, Terry Crews?
Stuff? Yeah. He
was being asked to be in the Illuminati every time.
He didn't know.
And he was like,
why do all these people keep grabbing my dick? Yeah. Dude, like, you're right, ladies. This shit keeps happening.
Yeah, we're trying to get you paid, dog. Be an Illuminati. Grab whatever you want to grab once you're here. You know? And yeah, it's like, so here's what I found. It was a documentary talking about how black Hollywood is slipping into the Illuminati. So started off talking about Lil Wayne and how when Lil Wayne got into Cash Money, that's the original big conglomerate, the umbrella group. Remember back when there were big umbrella groups, and then each umbrella group had groups within that umbrella. It was like Wu-Tang, and then within Wu-Tang, there were like little sub-groups.
The Fugees and the blah, blah.
Well, no, the Refugees, they weren't part of Wu-Tang. Oh, okay. Stop being white.
Okay.
Yeah. We're doing umbrella shit. This is macro. I'm not going micro because I don't remember all the details.
Okay.
You're trying to just throw shit out there. You gotta calm down. All right. So
Black Eyed Peas?
Not part of the Wu-Tang, Anthony. They would be more likely part of the Refugees.
Let's move on. Yeah.
No, like the names of like the subgroups of the Wu-Tang were all like weird names.
Okay.
They were weird names. And not to say that the Black Eyed Peas, it's like they're all weird names, band names. So Lil Wayne was getting into Cash Money, and that was headed up by Baby? Birdman? I don't know if Birdman
You know, I'm not going to help you on
Baby.
This one.
I forget. There were like multiple, though. It was like Birdman and Baby, whatever. So he shows this clip in his documentary of Lil Wayne talking to this young up and coming rapper. They're in a room, right? And he's talking about how he's gotta like fuck bitches. Lil Wayne's telling this little man. Lil Wayne's telling the young guy, I was too many lil's. I don't wanna like lil you off this off topic. Like, who's Lil what? Like where do I put the parentheses? Lil Wayne's talking to this young kid, and he's telling him about how he should be out there just banging chicks, right? Mm. And you're not supposed to do it. Not do it because you're young. Not do it because you a rapper. Do it because you cash money now. You know, you're part of this. Like, just to say, you're part of this group, we fuck.
Okay.
You know, you get out there and fuck. And then he's like, you know what I mean? He starts, like, talking, like, how he was having sex since he was 11, you know? And then he goes, yeah, I was raped when I was 11. Lil Wayne's talking. Uh-huh. And everybody in the room's like, kind of like agreeing with it. Uh-huh. It didn't get too weird. Like, people kind of knew.
Yeah.
The boy's uncomfortable, like laughing it off. Like, what the fuck is happening? He looked to be probably like 15, 16, like between 14, 16. Yeah. You know? And Lil Wayne's like, yeah, I got raped when I was 11. You know what I mean? But he's not like, I was raped when I was 11. You know, it's like, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got raped when I was 11. What? And he was like, yeah, I'm going to do you like baby did me.
Yeah.
Which is already two back-to-back weird things to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I'm going to do you like they did me. And he's like, you know, they pulled me in a room just like, he told about it. He's like, we were in a room, you know, pretty much a room just like this, with about as many niggas in here just like this. I can say at that time, because it was Lil Wayne. It was quoting Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne said that. And, he was like, and then he told me to come over here and, you know, was like, it was either Weezy sucked this dude's dick or let this dude suck your dick.
Yeah.
But either way, he did it.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Like, one's definitely worse than the other. You know, if you're a heterosexual male, you're a young guy who all you want to do is be a rapper.
Yeah.
You know Cash Money. They have the in. They have the videos. They have the access.
Yeah.
Cash Money.
Yeah.
And they're telling you to do this.
Yeah.
You know? And he did it. And then it was like there were other people in Cash Money. Another person's like online talking about, I'm going to tell you, I let Birdman fuck me to get the deal. I did. I let him put him up. But it's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're talking about, so then there's another part where, you know, like how Dave Chappelle, no butt stuff.
He wasn't.
Nah. That's why they tried to kick him out of Hollywood.
What?
Because he wasn't about that stuff. Yeah, he wasn't trying to be part of the Illuminati. They were also trying to screw him over on his deal, but he wouldn't acquiesce. But they were trying to probably screw him over because he wasn't doing the butt stuff. You know? Like, they weren't trying to cut him in.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dave Chappelle, when he starts making his comeback, he's on Oprah. And he's talking about how it seems to him like every time black people end up in Hollywood, they put him in a dress. They find a way to put him in a dress.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. So that is to show the allegiance to the Illuminati. Show your allegiance to the Illuminati. Show your allegiance to this sacred group, this group that is going to hook you up beyond your wildest imaginations. Show your allegiance. Wear this dress.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, so a little bit after that, because this is all going around now, everybody who is getting interviewed, who's black in Hollywood, they're being asked about this. Every guy is being asked about this.
Yeah.
Especially when Kevin Hart, he has something coming out soon, because he always has something coming out.
Yeah.
So a reporter is interviewing Kevin Hart about, you know, Dave Chappelle just said every time a black person's in Hollywood, you wear a dress, blah, blah, blah. And Kevin Hart's like, yeah, well, you got to know your boundaries. And I know my boundaries. And, you know, my boundaries haven't been tested yet. And, you know, I know what I'm not going to do. And he's basically like, I'm not going to wear a dress.
Yeah.
You know? He was on SNL. He was hosting SNL 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And he was in a sketch where it was like, and the next Pope is, and they had all these people come out in like Pope robes and stuff. And then Kevin Hart comes out wearing a purple dress and a blonde wig with like pigtails, a hat, an umbrella, and he's playing some little girl. Right?
Really?
Because it was like,
they're like, oh yeah, we will.
Yeah, it was like, dude, you're not gonna put him in a dress.
Yeah.
You know, like if he wants this.
Hollywood's so connected that it's like they just put him in a movie or a sketch or SNL. Like, they just, like, everybody's like, no, like, somebody's calling somebody like, I need to get my man on SNL in a dress.
I think he might have also already.
They just look for opportunities. Scheduled
to go on SNL.
Yeah.
Because he had something coming out.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was part of his promotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was literally like 2 weeks after he got done saying he wouldn't wear a dress, he wouldn't compromise himself that way. He was doing it for a sketch on SNL.
Yeah.
A sketch that wasn't even that funny. A sketch that was probably written so that Kevin Hart had to wear a dress.
Right.
You know, it's like, goodness gracious, what the hell is happening?
Will Smith is in it.
I mean, he was in Six Degrees of Separation, a movie where he was, you know, having sex with a man.
He was.
Yeah, that's part of that movie.
Okay.
He's like, he seduces a man in that movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, so anytime there's like, that means it's part of the Illuminati, anytime there's butt stuff, like in Hollywood. Well, I mean,
they just have stuff on each other.
Yeah.
They have like stuff on each other that, and it's like, again, it's not, that's just part of their ritual. I mean, that's what all rituals are for. Yeah. That's what all initiations are for. It's like, this is us.
Yeah.
You know,
this is, we've been through this together.
We've been through this together. You know, let's hook each other up. We got each other. We know.
We trust each other.
Exactly.
We, yeah, because we've been through,
you know,
this.
Like how cops are like, all right, everybody has to shoot one black person. And then we're a brotherhood and we got each other's back. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what groups do. They want to prove your allegiance, prove your loyalty.
Yeah. And that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast last week. Like, couples even get to a point where it's like probably better that they just stay together just because they have so much on each other.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, you're so
weird. You're
a
sacred society. Yeah. Every marriage, every relationship that has lasted, and we've been together, what, 19, almost 20 years?
Yeah.
So we'll say, where would you say it started to become a sacred society, our relationship?
Oh, man. It didn't take too long, I don't think.
No, it was pretty quick.
I mean, but we kind of
we needed to fix
there.
Some things. Yeah. But we were a sacred society, you know, almost right away.
I feel like after that night of my celebration after the lacrosse win, like,
yeah,
I was
like, this
initiated.
Is who we are now. Yeah, this is who we are.
And you stayed right there with me. So, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
That's what comes to mind.
But
we talked about that.
But again, like, you know, we've been together a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we can pick. You
but
know.
Yeah, we, there were come. Yeah, you could have cut ties after that. Yeah. It just been like a job.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I keep my gut said like 10 years ago. It was like.
Yeah. So like 10 years in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so. And that's why a lot of people kind of break up at the 10 year mark.
Yeah. It was 7 years.
7 years. It's
seven
like
years,
we're
seven to 10.
Starting to do some weird shit. Like I'm like locking myself into this relationship.
With, it's now or never.
Like, yeah. With each curiosity that we explore. I can't. I'm out. I'm going to start over. I'm going to be single for a while. I need to find myself. Yeah.
I hope this goes a better direction with the next person.
Exactly.
We've gone weird.
Yeah. Things have gone weird. Yeah. It's, so yeah, but that's basically what it is, what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's all throughout, and like this like these YouTube documentaries, it's not he's not even narrating. There's no narrator. They're just showing the clips of the things happening in time and dating things.
Really?
And it's just like, oh dear God, what are we what's happening? What is happening?
Yeah.
You know?
Eddie Murphy's in a dress a lot.
Eddie Murphy, yeah. And remember, Martin Lawrence
was in a dress.
But he had like a psychotic break. And he kind of lost it all.
Break.
Remember, he was out in the street with a gun, and he was like screaming something about the Illuminati coming to get him, and or something.
No,
like this.
I don't
remember
this.
We gotta listen. We'll do our due diligence, and we'll go back and we'll find out as much information on that as possible. That definitely happened.
Okay.
Definitely happened.
Okay.
So, but yeah, he just couldn't keep doing butt stuff anymore. I guess it was just like. It was like he just felt too compromised.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can only and he was, remember, Martin Lawrence, he was, like, Kevin Hart basically stepped into the wake that was left by Martin Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who was the biggest blockbuster comedian draw before Kevin Hart? It was probably Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
We don't even remember Martin Lawrence anymore.
Yeah, no.
He crossed the Illuminati. Shit was done.
Yeah,
shit
where is
done.
He? What happened to him?
I don't know. He's making a comeback. I don't know if he re-entered the Illuminati or if he's just using. He's probably doing. I think he's doing stand up again.
Wait, what did Tyler Perry do to deserve his career?
Come on. His career is dress.
Yeah.
His career is dress. Come on. Illuminati. Illuminati. And that's like, that's what leads me to believe that there is another sacred society out there that is protecting the other people, the people that are trying to reveal the truth of the world, right? Because Donald Trump is protected.
Yeah.
He's a protected man.
He is. He tapped into something, huh?
Yeah, and he's out there, you know, trying to expose the hypocrisy and the corruption in Washington. And he is like ironclad. He's firing whoever's fucked up.
Yeah, he is.
Who's ever corrupt. Like, he's like exposing it all.
Yeah, it's weird, though.
He brought Bill Clinton's rape victims out.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Like, yeah, so nobody, like, he's shut him down.
Dude,
like,
he's protected.
Yeah.
He's protected.
That's crazy, huh?
He's a protected man. So there's definitely a sacred society that is out there protecting
Donald Trump.
The other side, like the yin and the yang. Like, there's like, and like, I hate it because I hate defending the fact that I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. I'm not, but I support whatever sacred society group that is supporting him. That's the group that I support.
All right.
You know, it's, I think it's the Oculists.
You think so?
I do. I think it's the Oculists because the whole thing about the whole premise is exposing the truth to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is to have everybody be able to have the truth, mm-hmm. and they're represented by the eye,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, and like one of the part of their initiation, you have to become a skilled optometrist. You have to learn about the eye. You have to learn how to do a cataract surgery.
Really?
Yes. Swear to God. If there is one. I mean, I have to get, so yeah, it's, you know, You're afraid to talk now?
Well, I was going to endorse you that was jacked. And then I was like, do I want to?
Yeah.
Do I want to throw it all in with you?
Yeah, but listen.
You went deep today.
Listen, well, I did. I know. I know. It's like, oh my gosh. People now know this about me. But yeah, I mean, that's out there. Do your own research. I'm just saying there's more to the world than we are being told. There's more to society than we know. There's information out there to be known. And I just think, you know, all of this dissension about, like, trying to get the races to fight against each other, that's all Illuminati. That's all, like, that sort of, like...
That distraction stuff that you're like, this is Illuminati why, shit. Like, can't pay attention to the important issues.
Yeah. If you're just discrediting the idea of secret societies existing, period... Even if you, act like you don't know that the Skull and Crossbones actually existed, that wasn't exposed.
I think it's all, but like the thing is, like it could all be exaggerated, right? Like I believe the
Masonic, the Masons, the Freemasons,
just any of it.
That's a secret, like, society in plain sight.
Yeah,
because we know that they exist.
Right.
We know that. There are levels to it, and that there's secret information, and that there's secrets and stuff. But we don't know any of the secrets,
right?
Right. This is
but
secret
isn't it
society.
Just a bunch like they when you talk about it, it's like just a bunch of dudes that get together and drink and.
Yeah, but they're also passing wealth to each other.
Yeah,
they're giving each other jobs, and there's also an initiation of knowledge that goes with it. You have to become. An expert in a thing, like a craftsman almost, you know?
But so the Illuminati doesn't want us to know that, like, they want the world to continue to believe that white people are running it so that they're angry at white people, right? Because if we, like, were like, no, a secret society is running this, people would be like, we got to stop it. Like, nobody wants the person in charge to stay in charge. You know, like, you want to...
Yeah.
Somebody wants that power.
Although it's the Illuminati is likely white people. It's so fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's such a distraction. It's like a Russian nesting doll of distractions.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in control of all of this. And like, you look at this story, this story about this kid cutting his hair that shouldn't be a story at all.
Right.
A dude cut his hair so that he can go savage some other little kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we're forgetting the part about the wrestling. Like, yeah. So what was he there to do?
He's there to wrestle.
Yeah.
Right. But every headline is like, referee who was accused of using the N-word 2 years ago makes a black kid cut his hair. Or it's like, all like, first of all, some of this information doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, what story are you trying to tell?
Yeah.
You're telling too many stories here. Are you just trying to ruin a guy? I tell you what about that referee.
No butt stuff.
No butt stuff. Unprotected out there. He's out there unprotected. He probably declined.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
mm-hmm.
That is against the rules. All right, let's see if we can close this out talking about something a little less weird and dark. Ansley's got a new hero. I heard you recommending your new feminine power icon to your mom.
The marvelous Miss Maisel.
Yeah, Ansley's in love. She's got a new hero.
It's a good story, and it's a story like that's from a woman's perspective, and it's not like watered down, and it's like multifaceted. It's interesting. It's well told. Like the fashion is really cool in it. It's in like 1950s New York where everybody dressed nice. Like remember that video you shared?
Yeah.
Like everybody looking nice and proper and stuff. Yeah. It's that time. You know I want to be fancy.
You do, but you also want to be snappy.
Yeah,
you know?
And she is so, snappy yeah, and so, fancy.
Yeah, this is what I want to talk about because this is funny to me. So since Ansley started watching The Marvelous Miss Maisel, you want to tell her story real quick? Because I don't know if you did that. Like what?
Oh, she so she's a Jewish female woman Jewish woman living in 1950s in New York City with a wealthy family, and she wants to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. And she had like a big breakup or something.
She
and
did. Then she just her husband like, wanted to be a stand-up, and she was supporting him.
Yeah.
And like she can manipulate people really well.
Oh,
and
she was like helping him write his jokes or something.
Helping him write his jokes, helping him get on stage, like doing the whole nine. And then they
stuff that you refused to do early on in the
butt stuff.
Yeah.
Like they broke up because he was having an affair, and she like stumbled on still like she went on stage and found she loved it. And
she's
she couldn't
crushing
stop.
It, right?
Or she's crushing it. Yeah, yeah. She's great.
Became big right away. Is that kind of
well? She's happening? I mean she's working on it. I mean okay. They show like how it's rough at first, but she's getting breaks and stuff.
So Ansley's been like this like uber sassy. Because it's so funny to me because like when Ansley watches shows, you like adopt. You
get
know,
caught
like
up.
These vibes.
I like a good story.
Yeah. So. I can't say weird adjectives or I can't like leave adjectives out there. So the other day, I forget what I was talking about. And, I had a showcase at Helium,
mm-hmm.
a comedy club in Philadelphia. Shout out to Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. So doing a show in Helium, a showcase on a Wednesday, the open mic was Tuesday the night before. The open mic was lit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people in the crowd. I wouldn't say packed house, but a lot of people in the crowd, like the bottom part section before mm-hmm. is, you know, all filled, like pretty much all filled. People were having a good time. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Fun show. The next night was a showcase, which was like, you know, like a freer night than the open mic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a small crowd and they were just like, you know, pulled back. They weren't really giving it up, but they were giving it up. So one of the things that was happening for me is that like I wasn't getting as big laughs as I normally get on my punchlines, mm-hmm. but then my tags, like everything else after the punchline, was crushing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like two different sets in one set every time. It was this weird Twilight Zone-y experience because it's, you know, like, just like the thing that you craft to get this explosion is like,
Yeah,
and like the thing that's supposed to just kind of like transition you out of this, out of the explosion you just created, like that slow motion walk out of the explosion, you know, that cool walk is now like exploding. So it's like it's even messing up your timing almost, you know. So, you know, I'm describing that to Ansley, and I was like, she's like, I don't know, folding laundry, whatever, doing something a woman should that she doesn't normally uh-huh. do, that she doesn't normally do. I don't know if you talked over that part.
Uh-huh.
Doing, you know, pretending to do her womanly duties, you know, perpetrating, having like womanly duties fantasy camp. and I described the crowd as small and weird. And she was like, your dick's small and weird. I was like, what the fuck? What? I'm telling you about an emotionally vulnerable situation that I had on stage in front of a bunch of people I didn't know. So I gotta watch what I say now until the show's over. Yeah. Is it like Netflix, the whole season is already on?
Yeah.
Just watch it.
I'm done. I watched
done?
It all. I'm finished.
Oh, yeah,
it.
So I can say stuff now? I can talk
I don't
now?
Know. There might be some hangover, but
yeah. I know you hear you recommending it to people so that you have other people watching it so you get to talk about it. That's what you're doing. You're trying to create a chat group. An old-fashioned chat group. All right, that's enough of this podcast, right? We did enough.
Yeah.
All right, that was a good, I don't know what to call this episode, man. It's like, because I
butt stuff.
Yeah, butt stuff. It has to be butt stuff, right? I mean, it's like we talk about it so much, people are going to be like, they definitely do butt stuff.
That's your fault.
There's no way they don't do butt stuff. It's not possible. Nobody talks about it that much and isn't curious about it. You know, it's like, we don't. We don't. So, whatever. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. You know, just again, we didn't even get into what he looked like.
No.
We didn't need one.
No.
We didn't need one. No, oh, man. Wow. Free. Free podcast. Two Jack Bros.
Question.
So anyway, thank you for listening. You're awesome. I think during the Christmas break, I don't know, we might be a little late with one. But we'll be here. Keep up the good work, listeners.
I feel like a
referee now. Yeah, I know. Seriously, put your pants up and cut your hair.